Welcome to The Truth Simply Put, the teaching broadcast vehicle of the Basilea Commission. On today's teaching, God's Word, rightly divided in the light of Christ, who is the central theme of the entire scriptures, will come with simplicity, precision, clarity, and power to instruct, admonish, edify, and build you up into the full measure of the stature of Christ. Now, let's dive straight in.
There is nothing the enemy did, does, or can do that goes past the cross. The cross is the crux of the matter, like the crux of everything, right? For us, it was at the cross that life began. Yeah, when Christ gave up his life for our life, gave up his place, and there was no other place left, right? Because there were two spaces. He gave up his place, and there was just one place left, and we took that place, right? Hence, the importance of the cross, and not merely the wood, right? It was what happened at the cross, the story of the cross, right? Okay. All we do as believers is to appropriate, to maximize, to implement and to take hold of all Christ has done for us. That is the good warfare. Yeah? That is the fight of faith. It's not trying to add to what the cross did or taking away from what the cross did. Right? It is taking hold of what the cross did and working it until it works in you and out of you God's will. Right? Are we together so far? Awesome. So let's see Colossians 2 and verse 15. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. He made an open show of them, such that the enemy can never recover from it. Like it was, you know how in boxing, there's what is called the final blow, right? He gave the enemy bass boost. He finished the enemy, and there's no recovery. So you can look at this, you can look at the cross and what this scripture says, and think that there's some more fight you need to do. Think that there's any fight you can even add, right, to what Jesus did. Okay, so if you appropriate what Christ came to do in your life, that would mean that you let go for him to come in, right? And in letting go for him to come in, you let go of yourself, right? You let go of yourself, okay? In John 3 and verse 30, yes, John 3 and verse 30, the scripture says, he must increase and I must decrease, right? I think it's the NLT that says, he must become greater and greater while I become less, right? So you cannot say that you're going to be showing off Christ. You cannot say you're going to be being Christ on display while you're trying to be yourself, right? So when you let go, you let him in, you put yourself to the side. Actually, maybe not even to the side. You put yourself far, far away, completely away, and you take on the life of Christ. So God has called us to a life of victory. Say to somebody, victory. God has called us to a life of victory. That's why we can sing, every high thing must come down. Every stronghold has been broken. He wore the victor's crown, and he has overcome, he has overcome. Every high thing has come down, every stronghold has been broken. He wore the victor's crown, and he has overcome, he has overcome. Okay, 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. So we'll read this one together, yeah? In the Amplified, please. Thanks be to God, who always leads up in triumph, and through us. Okay, let's see verse 15. I'll check the Amplified Classic. There's a particular phrase he uses there. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumph as trophies of Christ's victory. That's what I was looking for. And through us spreads and makes evident the fragrance of the knowledge of God. But scripture says as trophies of Christ's victory. You know what a trophy is, right? Right. When you won that relay race, they gave you that little something. Yes, that was your trophy. Christ wins the victory and gives you the award. And then God hangs it there with your name on it and says, this PAV is the victory that Christ has won, right? For instance, this Stephanie, this Caleb, this Semade, you know, is the victory that Christ has won. Mm-hmm. So God has a huge mantelpiece, right, where he displays all the trophies. So it's you know that we are God's workmanship. Yes, scripture says in Ephesians 2 and verse 10, I think, says that we are God's workmanship. So he has a mantelpiece where he displays all the trophies. And that's why he delights in asking Christ to come and lead us in triumph, right? Like that scripture said. So Christ will do the fighting, right? It wasn't your fight. It's not a battle you fought. It's a battle you just sat down and won. Yusuf, you don't understand why you won it, right? So Christ will do the fighting. And then when it's time to give the award, they say, no. It's not supposed to be me in this place, you know. Let Goody take my place. Let Goody stand here. And then Goody will take the trophy. And then God will take the trophy as well and put it on there and say, oh, Goody won this one today. And that's how it works, right? Okay. So the more victories, the more trophies. Every time you won that quiz competition and got that little award, right? You thought it was, maybe you thought it was nothing because you had won quite a number. But then it was important to God, right? Because you are important to him. Okay, that's how we are and that's what we are before the Father. Trophies of Christ's victory. And because of that, he through Christ is spreading the fragrance across the world. Okay. So I spoke about boxing. In a wrestling ring, there's a challenging champion and a defending champion. So it's understandable for a challenging champion to fail, right? They won't be really hard on him. They'll say, okay, yeah, he's coming up, he go grow. It will learn, he's learning, understand. But when a defending champion fails, is a problem. We forgive the failure of a challenging champion, but then we don't take lightly the failure of a defending champion because he's supposed to know what he's doing. I mean, not be so. Okay. That was a very interesting example Pavi used in this teaching. He said, you were taking 18th or 19th in class. Eh? Your parents were okay. People were cool. You took 43 out of 45. All was well. They did not. That time you were a challenging champion. In fact, I don't think you were a challenging champion. But all was well at home. You know, if you're from those kind of families that when they kill a chicken, you know your part. You understand? Your part was consistent. Except somebody die, travel, or marry before you step up in the part of the chicken you are taking. All was well. You were having your meat. No? Nicely. There was peace at home. You bring your 18 and come back. I say, okay, it is well. Me too. I was slow like that when I was growing. You will get there one day. Eh? They will encourage you. But the day you pushed and took first, ha! And then the time after that, you now took fourth. Ha! Wahala. Serious one like this. If your parents were Sunday school teachers, you will hear yourself in church. Some of you here, I know you personally. The only thing they will not do is call your name. I know you personally. I saw your result. I know your result. What you took last time was better than what you took this time. Are you going backward or forward? They will preach all sorts of things in the name of your defense that you lost. Because at that point, you are defending a cause. Okay. And that's because it sucks to lose when you're defending a title. So it matters to God to constantly defend his title. Right? God cannot afford to lose. So even when you don't deserve it, his integrity is at stake. Is his faith on the line? We've heard Paul say severally that it's the faith of God that we spend, right? It's not our faith. When scripture says have faith, it's not asking you to go and steal faith from the ground, you know, or take clay and mold faith. Scripture is it was God saying, take of me, right, and spend. That's what scripture means by have faith. So is his integrity on the line, not yours at all. If it was just you, it would, man, but God is gracious for his name's sake, right? Okay. That's why I'm convinced that it's not over until I win. Say, it's not over until I win. It's not over until I win. The end of the matter is that I win. You hearing me? The end of the matter is that you win. Mm-hmm. Put your hand on your chest and say, the end of the matter is that I win. Mm-hmm. Do you believe what you just said? Awesome. Okay, so if you haven't won, it means keep playing. Keep playing, keep playing, keep playing, keep playing. You know how you're on that game and the level after is harder. Sometimes you will fail it 2-3 times before you finally conquer that level. And then you can step up. Keep playing. Don't give up. You haven't won yet and you're giving up. No. Play it. Life cannot happen to you. You will happen to life. Right? It might look like you are slow. It might look like you are 19th or 45th. Let that be their opinion. Right? Because God's conclusion about you has nothing to do with any man's opinion. So keep playing. Keep playing. When you win, then you know that we have arrived at the end of the matter. Yeah? Okay. There are victories in your life that you got, not because you earned it. You know that you shouldn't have gotten it. You know, you saw that relationship, you got into it. You know. You know what I'm talking about. You knew that that job was shady. You took it. You knew that that business deal wasn't going to end well. But you said, no, let me give it a try. I'll find money. Now hustle. Abi? All. No, I'm telling you, you told yourself, a man in Christ is not disadvantaged, so this must be my chance. Yeah, no, it is my in Christ reality, my realities. It's my in Christ reality. I cannot be disadvantaged. You took on the job, and you knew how it was supposed to end. You saw it from the beginning by yourself. It shouldn't have ended well, but look at you now. It ended well. You came out of it with your head on your shoulder. Your head was not on your knee when you finished that job. Yeah? So there are some victories in Christ that when you look back, you know you were not supposed to have them. But then God is mindful of you. God is mindful of you. So make your boast in that. Yeah? So I said, if you haven't won, keep playing, right? Because it's not over until you win. That's God's perception, and that's God's commitment to you. victory is God's commitment to you. You will win, right? It's not because of what you've said or done. It's because of what he has, his reputation that he's keeping to and he's meeting. And the grace of God is awesome, guys. The grace of God is beautiful. Because we've seen in what purpose does the law serve, that even from the Old Testament, right, where it has been preached that grace did not exist. Because that's how it sounds sometimes. It sounds like grace is new school, new news, right? But the grace of God has come a long way, literally. We've heard about how we're living past, right? It was because of the grace of God that he could sit down and from the foundation of the world, look into our future and see that, these people, if I not slay this lamb now, go worry. Honestly, they will mess things up so badly, I will not recognize this world I'm trying to put together. So let me go ahead of them. Let me do something and make sure that I sort out their future. And then you just come now and you are living. No, living lavishly. You are living life, enjoying the future that God already made. So you're living out his will now. It wasn't now he orchestrated it. He orchestrated it a long time ago because he knew who you would be. He said about Jeremiah, before I formed you, I knew you. I had already thought about you. Sometimes I wonder how God's mind works. There must be a lot going on there. If my own mind is like this, yeah. It means God that thinks of all of us in this room like this, plus all the people out there. He's doing a lot in his head. But then he literally pictures you, or pictured you even, and then he puts you in the story and says, okay, this one, no matter how you come, that's why it doesn't matter how you came, guys. Honestly, it doesn't matter if you were a product of a rape or you were a mistake. That's what they said. In fact, if you are here, what matters to God is the means for which you are here, right? It's not the means by which you got here. What matters to God is the reason why you are here. So find it. In fact, you have found it, right? Christ is purpose fulfilled. Completely. So that's what matters to him. Why you're here is what matters to him. How you got here was just transport fare for you to get here. Honestly, it was just transport fare. You needed to get here and you got here. No? Awesome. So let's live life. Live how you got here. Let it be in the past. It already happened. How old are you now? And even when scripture says, before I formed you, I knew you. How old do you think Jeremiah was? Think about it. Where's Christ at? How old is Jesus Christ? Let's count the one that we know. Okay, this is 2023. Do you understand? Yeah, you are old. It's just this container that is 32 years. That's for the people that have even gotten to that. That's all I'm trying to let you know. Is this body of flesh that is 16? Do you understand? You have been around a long time. Yeah? So, yeah. Before he formed you, he knew you. And he's been deliberate about you. So in spite of what you deal with, all things are working for your good. All things are working for your good. You might not see it. You might not feel like it. That's why we're taught to not limit our walk with God to how we feel. Right? Because every day, he daily loads us with benefits. So every day, there's something God is doing with you and for you. So you can't limit it to how you feel. That's temporal. It will change. The next minute, you will have to do what you are doing, even if you don't feel like it. But then we trust the Spirit of God. And we know who we are and whose we are. We know who we belong to. Do you understand? It's not just even who you are now. It's who got you. Do you understand? Who got you? And the owner of you said that he's mindful of you. Why don't you just take it and run with it? Right? He's mindful of you. He owns you completely. He's not an absentee dad. We've heard Paul say it severally. He's not the kind of father that is like, Abeg, just live your life. I don't bring you come this world. That's the most I can. Because sometimes some people's parents are like that. I don't try for you. Yeah. Okay, so let two of us, let us just be living. Eh? You hustle your hustle, I hustle my hustle. I chop, you chop. At our separate ends. No, that's not the kind of father God is. Yeah, Father God is watching you 24/7. He's making sure you don't stumble. He's making sure you don't take a step without him there. Okay, so God is intentional about you. When he says, eyes have not seen, honestly, he knows the thoughts he thinks towards you. He knows, and he knows the kind of end you're supposed to have. So it's not just merely him saying, you'll see it in the future. You by yourself, you see it. You look back and you be like, oh, Father God, now I understand when you say there's an expected end. Right? Mm-hmm. It cannot end until as expected. Life cannot end until as expected. Because God is committed to giving you as an expected end. Like he promised. Right? Not young, but now I'm old, like David says. Never has the righteous been forsaken. Right? That's in Psalm 37:25. Never has the righteous been forsaken. The young lion may suffer hunger. Let's see Psalm 34 and verse 10. Okay, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Mm-hmm. Okay. The end of the matter is I win. It's interesting how the enemy never stopped trying, in spite of the fact that he knows that the end of his matter is that he will lose. He knows, though. He knows. So every time I think about how persistent the devil is, yeah, I think about how much more persistent I should be. Because the enemy knows his end, right? So he cannot be more convinced about his end and work towards changing it, right? Because that's what he's doing. If he knows how he's supposed to end, everything he's doing is to fight against that kind of end. He's trying to end well. So why don't you? You know your end. You know your end. You know that you are joining in Christ. You are joining through Christ to end up in Christ, to end up as Christ, to end up Christ. Oh no, take it seriously now. Please, please. Guys, take it seriously. You're on a journey to becoming as Christ, to becoming Christ in the end. Take it seriously. That's a good end. That's a good end. If the enemy is fighting rigorously to change his end, all you need to do is just chill and let God drive you to your end, literally. And you're fighting to do what? I mean, if you think about it, you have a good end. What are you fighting to achieve? To mess it up? God will not allow you. Let me tell you, you have entered. And the Lord shut you in. See, let me tell you, God is not going to allow you mess up your end. He will not allow you mess up your end. In fact, he will not allow you mess up your end. Any victory the enemy gets in your life is a victory of your ignorance, right? So imagine a chain of armors, right? You wear an armor. Right, imagine that the spring that is holding all of those little pieces together breaks, for instance, and then you're headed in maybe in the direction of the battlefield, and because that spring has broken, armors are dropping piece by piece. shattering all over the place. And the enemy is coming behind you. And he's picking them up one by one. That's how he gets power. And that's a lot of times, that's how ignorant we are. We're just walking off and going. We're not mindful of what we have. We're not mindful of our realities. We're not confessing anything. We're not declaring anything over our life. Should be they say, we are new creation. Oh yeah, now let's be going. You wake up, you go. The enemy is walking behind you. And he's taking more seriously the things you should be taking seriously. He's picking up weapons to use against you. And then you get to the battlefield. You look at yourself. Maybe it's remaining more iron or something. Do you understand? Pen knife. It's remaining a little knife on you somewhere. And that one was probably not a part of the armor. It was just somewhere on your shirt. So you now remove it. So that's what you want to use and fight. Somebody that has girded himself up with your entire war clothes. You will lose, but you won't. Because God has made sure of it in spite of you. If he were a reckless dad, you would have lost. But he's not. He's not. He's not. He's not. Okay, so any victory the enemy gets in life is the victory of your ignorance of your victory. That's why the onus is on us to be victory conscious. We've been taught enough to know, right, and believe that we have the victory. We have the victory. If it were just the death of Christ, you know, sometimes I think about it. If it were just the death of Christ that was in that package, right, to forgive our sin, to heal our diseases, you know, those two things, it's fair enough now. Think about it. Do you understand? I'm just saying, if that package, if inside that phone pouch, it was just the phone and the charger, or maybe the phone and battery inside the phone, such that the phone can come on. You will buy charger. You will buy earpiece. I know you will buy AirPod. Yeah. So if it was just those two things in the package, you will be very content. You will be happy. You will say, oh God, thank you. But then he gave you so much more. So much, so, so much more. It wasn't just forgiveness of sin and healing. Because he was whipped all the way to the cross for your healing. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just healing that he came to pay for you, right? So it was, yeah, if it was just that, but he did so much more. So, so, so much more. The enemy, you know how scripture says that the enemy is like a roaring lion. He's not even a roaring lion. He's like a roaring lion. That's just, you know, he's just like that. And then if we're now even thinking about the lion itself is just a roaring lion. Do you understand? They did not say the lion is to bite. They did not say the lion is harmful. In this teaching, Papa actually called the lion a soprano Simba. Just saying, rah, 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 rah. You know how Simba, how weak Simba was. Yeah, that is soprano Simba. I don't know why he used soprano, but you know, maybe because soprano is high pitched. Yes, why he used it, because nothing else would have qualified it. Okay, but then the enemy is like a roaring lion. He's not even a lion, first of all. Because nobody is contesting who is the lion and the lamb. Do you understand? The lion and the lamb is settled. That one is a done deal, who the lion and the lamb is. So the devil is trying to be what he's not. So he comes and he fights after having picked up weapons that are not his. Then he comes and makes noise and noise and noise and noise and noise. But you know what you can do? You can just say, shh. He's gone. And you don't even need to raise your voice. So you just go, shh. And you literally just blink and he's no longer there. That's how much power you have. That's how much in charge you can be, right? Okay. So we'll see. A dog only chases you when you run from it. Who has had a dog experience before we go to Colossians 2? You are coming back from the market. Dog now starts chasing you. You throw away your market bag and run. And you know the funny thing is that the dog will stay there with your goods. Because he knows that you will try and come and carry your mother's pepper and meat from the floor, no? Because it's not, most times it's not even you that sent yourself to the market. So how do you guys explain? You need to come back and carry your mother's property. And the dog will be waiting there for you. You know the fear, come. But then the dog only chases you when you are scared of it. And it knows. It knows when you are scared. It knows when you are, you know, because it's around the corner. So that is the same way the enemy is. If you are scared, if your mind is messed up, if there's so much going on that he can mess with your mind, he knows what exactly to say to you. And he knows what exactly to, what buttons to push. But then we are not giving room to the enemy, right? Because you have authority to tread upon. Let's see Luke 10 and verse 19. The enemy has no license because he was disarmed. He has no ammunition. Okay, so, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Over all the power of the enemy, which is not even his, right? Which is stolen. He's stolen. He stole it from somebody who does not know that they had power. Okay, so the enemy is disarmed, was disarmed by Jesus. Mm-hmm. And we have arms without fighting. We have arms without fighting because he won. He fought. He won. He gave us the arms. It's not like we even need it, but we have it. Do you understand? If we're going to a battle now, he already fought the battle. He's fighting in our place. But we have access to those arms, you know, just to use like toys. I think about it all the time because he fought, he handed over to us. But we don't need, for instance, now we don't need a sword for the battle. But then we have, you know, we have a sword in our backyard and just look at it and say, oh yeah, look at what Jesus used to conquer the enemy and just walk away. Okay. And then a lot of times fear is a heavy tool the enemy uses. Fear is the absence of faith. And we have faith, so we do not have fear, right? We have faith, we don't have fear. We have the Spirit of God. Scripture says, we do not have the spirit of fear. We have the Spirit of God resident inside of us. So we have power, we have a sound mind. We don't have fear, there's no fear resident inside of us. And then we are inside love, right? Another scripture says, perfect love casts out fear. We're inside that love, and that love is within us. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about fear now, we're trashing fear now. We're inside love, and that love is within us. And scripture says, perfect love casts out fear. You are inside that love. That love is inside of you. Perfect love casts out fear. So you have everything you need to defeat fear. In fact, because of what you have, fear is defeated already. Fear is a done deal. So somebody said, fear is false evidence appearing real. That's not entirely true. Because fear is not false evidence. I did tell you. Think about Goliath and the children of Israel. Sunrise and sunset. He was giving them twice daily. You know how they tell you, take two tablets in the morning, take two tablets in the evening. He was giving them like this. He will come and stand. He will say, give me a man that can challenge me. Give me a man that can take me on. And then if he wins, my people will be your slaves. If he doesn't win, if he doesn't win, you will be our slaves. And he did that for 40 days. Consistently. And you say fear is what? What evidence?
first evidence. Oh, my, that's real low. It's realer than you can ever imagine. I'm telling you, you've read for that exam. Then you go and sit down inside the jam hall. And you look at your question paper. Oh, as far as the east is from the west, the questions you are seeing are so far, so far from your memory. You cannot, you're like, they've been teach us this one. in what course precisely does this stem from? Understand? You start to speak grammar to yourself just in case grammar can help you. That's not false evidence, guys. The fear that will grip you, is real. You are seeing it. Can you imagine the psychological trauma, the intimidation the children of Israel went through in the hands of Goliath? Meanwhile, they had the victory. They just didn't know. They had the victory because there was never a time that God sent the Israelites to battle without having the victory, without going ahead of them as their victory. So for the most part, it was just ignorance. They didn't know what they had, right? There were times that God even sent insects out to fight for them. God sent insects out to fight. Five kings came into alliance to fight the children of Israel. Oh my God. So five kings came into alliance to fight against the Israelites. And somehow, they vexed for each other. Four turned on one. Four kingdoms turned on one. They finished them. Three turned on two. They went down. It was now remaining two. They fought each other so much. Then he remembered those two. That Paul said, he wonders how, but scripture says there was not a soul left. So it meant, I was even thinking about it yesterday, it meant that even if, me and Goodwill were on the same side, we finished the other kingdom, right? We have finished the other people. Two of us will say, okay, nobody's left though. What are we remaining for? Oh yeah, I took you. let us all go. Because there was not supposed to be a soul left. And there was no soul left. So they fought it to the very end. Like they fought it, finish. They killed each other, however they did it. But not a soul was left. And then the people that were coming to fight came and met victory. Imagine that. The people that were coming to fight just came and met that there was nothing to do. And that was it. Otto, they carried themselves unstained, and went back home without having to lift a finger. Literally, that's the kind of victory you have. That's the kind of victory you have, son of God. You don't have to even think about a fight. You don't have to think about a fight because he fought. He fought, he won, he dealt with it completely. Like he finished it. When he said it was finished, he did not mean tomorrow you will need to come and tie my broken arm so that I can manage it. Do you understand? You will need to come and bandage my elbow so I can manage and fight. He finished everything. Everything. There's nothing you can add, honestly. There's nothing. So don't let fear deceive you. Don't let fear deceive you. Not a soul was left. Not a teeny weeny bit of your problem is left. Because he dealt with it. It might not look like it. You might not see it immediately playing out. But nothing was left untouched. Nothing was left undealt with. You better believe it though. Honestly, you better believe it's for your good. Even in the story of parting the Red Sea, imagine that the children of Israel were, of course, in front of the Israelites crossing. And the very last person in the camp of the Israelites. Imagine like 6 million people and their properties. The very last person was bait for the first Egyptian. Do you understand? So it was most likely literally a matter of doing this. But the sea closed up. Only God knows how it happened. Honestly, the sea closed up on the first step out of the sea of the last Israelite. The sea closed up on the Egyptians. I can only imagine their shock. Because they probably died of shock. Not even because they should have known how to swim. Do you understand? But they died, no? They died. They probably died of, Jesus, see me see land, oh. And I'm inside water. How did it happen? Just one more step, I would have entered land. And me, I'm drinking water now. That's most likely what killed them. But then, it was just beautiful. It was all in the calculation of God. It couldn't have been orchestrated by man. It couldn't. Every weapon the enemy uses against you, you give him. If he has a weapon, you gave him. Because he was disarmed in Colossians 2. Colossians 2 clearly says it. He was disarmed. It is such fantasy, such fantasy. Satan lose. It is such fantasy, such fantasy. Satan lose. That's the one person that he's losing. You can feel righteously good about his losing. You don't have to pretend about it. You can be happy that he lost. Because he planned to take you on, but he can't. Because he lost. 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 So if he wins, is an absence of knowledge. Okay. Last time the enemy bullied you was the last time. Honestly, the last time he bullied you, you walk out that door, and it's the last time it ever happened. It will not repeat itself again. Because you know who you are. Because you know who you are. You know that you have the mind of Christ. You know that you are possessed by a spirit that he doesn't intend to share you with the spirit of fear. He can't share. Specific scripture calls fear spirit. The spirit of God doesn't intend to share space with fear. It's not. He possesses you, and it can only be him. He's not here today, gone tomorrow. Do you understand? He fills you all in all. No room. No room, no room, no room. I know who God says I am. What he says I am. Where he says I'm sat. I know who I am. I know who God says I am. What he says I am. Where he says I'm sat. I know who I am. I'm walking in power. I'm working miracles. I live a life of favor. I know who I am. I'm walking in power. I'm walking miracles. He changed my name to favor. Oh, I know who I am. I'm a wonder. It doesn't matter how I feel now. See his glory. I know who I am. Take a look at me, I'm a wonder. It doesn't matter what I see now. See his glory. not, guys, you're not expecting miracles. You're not expecting miracles. You're not expecting somebody to go and work miracle and come and, you know, hand over to you. You are working, you are a living, breathing, walking miracle. Do you understand? There's power resident inside of you. You are working miracles. You're working miracles. You say to somebody who is lying sick and almost out, get up. And they get up. You say to demons, flee out of her, and they flee out of her. Demons hear you and they tremble. Literally. You can take on snakes and serpents and they cannot harm you. You will eat deadly things. They cannot harm you. It's not intentionally that you will eat deadly things, but you will encounter stuff and you're not going down. Because it's you that is the Son of God. Do you understand? It's you. It is you in the equation that is the Son of God. So you will taste deadly things, literally. You will trample upon serpents. You will bruise their head. You see, the heel was already bruised. Do you understand? So they cannot bruise your own heel. It is you who will bruise their heads. And you will put an end to them seamlessly. You will walk out like, it wasn't you. You look back and you're like, oh, yeah, that's what sons do. So it's not news for me. Do you understand? I will do it so that the people can see and glorify my Father. Like your elder brother said, that's what you are called to do. You are not, yeah, see, hey, you are called to live a life of victory. You are called to live a life of victory. You are not, called to be intimidated by life. You are not called to be intimidated by the devil. You are not called to be intimidated by sin and fear. The fear of sin, fear of what to do, what not to do. And you're a son of God. And you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You wake up every day and you say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you go out. Once you step out of your door, somebody come and tell you, ta. You say, oh no. You completely forgot that you say, I am righteous. I am holy. Yeah, power. Power. You know? You go out and you face life and life do you. You cry. You stay there and cry for everybody to see that you are a baby. No. You are righteous. You are holy. There's power resident inside of you. The Spirit of God on your inside is power itself. Yeah, so you cannot take on life shaking. No. What will be. No. You know when people say that thing? What will be. No, they say it from a place of, you know, let me just manage life. We're not managing life. Oh. Hey, we're not managing life, guys. We're living out our realities. We're living out the one who is resident inside of us. So we're not managing. Hey. See, you might sip Gary on some occasions, not for pleasure, because you are broke. But there are other days you want to sip Gary. Understand? You sip it with roasted chicken. You sip it with suya. You sip it with milk and honey. For the people that use salt, if you want to add milk and salt, they know themselves. You can add salt and milk together. That is your choice on those days. There are some times that you will have so much. You will have so much to enjoy your life. But some other times you'll be broke and it's okay. It's okay for those times to happen on you, but you would never and should never wake up and start to look like somebody who is mourning around because life is happening, because they say they did not see your results. Tell them to look again. Look again. Have you checked under that desk? Have you looked on that shelf? Look everywhere. Come, let us look at everywhere. We will see. Isn't my result? We will see my result. I will not cry. We will see my results. They tell you, you lost your... They tell you they are firing you. Tell them, see the gun here. Myself, I be not tired. Which can walk? Waiting. Shoot me, self. Shoot me. Let me die. But do you guys get? You want to fire me literally. What is it? What's left? when a job is literally taking up your life and you don't have time to do God. You are doing life, doing life, doing life, doing works, 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 dead works. Come on, fire me if that's the case. But guys, there's so much more to life for a son of God, for somebody who knows who they are. There's so much more to life than we are doing right now. So live a life of victory. Live a life of victory. You have victory in Christ Jesus. Paul said in victory consciousness, victory is not an event. Do you understand? It is the possessing of a conquering spirit. It's a state of being about the possession of a conquering spirit. And you possess that spirit. And Paul called it a conquering spirit. So there's nothing that can come against you. There's nothing that can come against you that was not already dealt with. Victory consciousness is an awareness that you possess a conquering spirit. That spirit is resident inside of you. We're called to a life of victory. So live today determined to live that life. Yes? Live today determined to live that life. Let the things that happen in life, yeah? Let them rather stir your consciousness. Let them rather awaken your consciousness such that you can look at life and you're like, oh, you too, you happened. Do you understand? You happened and I'm alive. Ah, I dealt with this and I'm alive. I got this. Do you understand? There are times when you sit down and you're like, ah, I dealt with this and I'm alive. Let those times remind you that nothing is too hard. Nothing is too hard for a son of God that has the conquering spirit resident inside of them. Go and do life. Go and do life. See, go and show life who sons of God are. Because you have a conquering spirit.
Well, that's it for today's teaching. We trust it has been worth your time. For more of these messages from our stables, kindly subscribe to our teaching podcast at www.thebasileacommission.podbean.com or via the Podbean app on your mobile device. For inquiries and further information, kindly send us an email to info@thebasileacommission.org or find us on social media with the handles at The Truth Simply Put or at WAR The Church. You can also send us an SMS, call us, or connect with us via WhatsApp on +234 70 881 8864. Finally, if you would like to give to support the work that we do, kindly follow the Patreon link in our podcast or contact our office for details. Thank you.